Talking Sandful with Bevo and Smear.
Well, g'day, welcome to Talking Sandful with Bevo and Smurf. Once again, it's the show where we focus on all things Sandful and bring you the latest news and the biggest guests every week. I'm joined, as always, by the Silver Fox, the man who is loving a bit of me time on TV at the moment, especially in the AFL side of things. That is Steve the Smurf Murphy.
I'm not shy, Bevan, but I don't know if I'm doing it just to get on TV. Do you think I am? Or
I don't know. Every time I watch the footy, the AFL games at the moment, or whether I watch the Sandful games, when you're a goal umpire, you've always got to get yourself on TV smiling, and you're a bit of a smiling assassin, so I love it.
I love my work, Bevan. I love my work. Let's talk Sandful, shall we? And both the Eagles and North Adelaide have cemented themselves an equal top spot after some good wins on the weekend. And they're obviously the two teams to watch at this point, I think.
Yeah, exactly right. Cracking game. We'll talk about that in a moment between North Adelaide and South on the weekend, with the Roosters getting the chocolates there. And Jacob Surgeon certainly got getting them up and about. It's interesting, isn't it? The Surgeon and, of course, Jay Sheedy are new coaches, but they're both, you know, going really well this year as first-time coaches in the Sandful.
Yeah, it's great to see, isn't it? I suppose anyone that appoints someone for the first time in a new role would be a bit nervous. So all those behind those two appointments at the moment, anyway, would be feeling quite proud of themselves, I'd imagine.
Exactly. Obviously, with Stoney, you know, in only his second year, he won it for the Bays. So, yep. Yeah, well done to, well, obviously to him last year. So, yeah, you're right. It'd be nice to see Surge, and especially both of us having that, being fans of the Power and the Magpies, it'd be nice to see an ex-Power player win it as well.
Now, later in our podcast, Bevo, looking forward to this, catching up with, well, last week we spoke to Zane Kirk, one of the most experienced and talented players going around the Sandful. This time we speak to someone who's, well, talented, but not quite as experienced, well, basically a newbie to the Sandful.
That's right. Young Joshy Ryan, he's the twin brother of Lockie, who was on the Crows top up list last year. A really great fellow, Murph. I met him a few times from Bendigo. Great family, and really looking forward to speaking to Joshy.
Obviously, we'll talk football. I'm keen to see if his coach, Gavin Colville, fires up when he coaches against his old team that he played so many games for, the Eagles, like they are this week. So I'll be keen to see what Josh's thoughts are on that.
And we've got a bit of dirt as well on young Joshy.
Okay.
Interesting band that he used to be a fan of when he was about 3 or 4 years old. He used to jump around the lounge room singing to this particular band, and I'm interested to find out who that one is, or the most people be interested to find out who that one is as well, Murph.
Let me just say, though, this band was around maybe when you and I were young, certainly way before his time, so
yes.
Interesting choice.
Very interesting.
Crowds have been interesting over the last few weeks. Obviously, there's been some issues in terms of restrictions thanks to coronavirus and COVID-19, but I thought the crowd on Sunday looked pretty good at Glenelg. I wonder if, though, because on Saturday all the crowds were in the 1,000 area, so between 1 and 2,000. I wonder if there's still a bit of a concern when spectators are thinking about going, but maybe they're thinking when they get there they'll be turned away because of the restrictions that have been in place. So is that part of the issue, do you think? And I think we both like the idea of just maybe one round, making it unbelievably cheap to get in, gold coin or even free, whatever.
Yeah.
And just seeing how the crowd numbers would be, you think they'd be fantastic, and you would hope that the club in question would make enough money to compensate the no admission price out of their hot dogs and beers and stuff.
I love that idea, Murph. And I've sort of floated of that the last few years as well, with especially out at Elizabeth, because, you know, that's when the Doggies were up and about back in the 2000s, they were getting sort of 5,000 plus at their games, and now they're struggling to get 1,000. So I think, gold coin donation for a few games would be awesome, I think. And I know people will go, well, how's the SANFL, the club's going to make money? But if they get decent crowds there, putting money behind the bar, behind their hot dogs, behind their kiosk or whatever, I think that's actually something that, and especially in this day and age where we're in that COVID situation where people are pretty short of money, Murph, I think it'd actually be a brilliant idea. But, you know, we're not the Sandful executives, though, are we?
No, we don't have that power, unfortunately. We're working on it, but we don't have it yet.
Yes.
A few things have to be in play, though, for a good crowd to turn up. It has to be Sunday. I think we've found that. Or Friday night. Saturday afternoons don't go as well. People play their own sport, own footy, whatever else. And obviously not up against an AFL game. The weather is obviously important. If it's raining, you're not going to get a good crowd. And generally, Glenelg, your Sturt and Norwoods, if they play each other, that's probably where you're going to get maximum attendance. But, yeah, you know, North have they all have a following, obviously. As you said, if the team is up and about, that's obviously going to increase the crowd as well. But I'd love to see, like a Glenelg Sturt or something like that, Sturt, Nord, whatever, on a fine Sunday where it's cheap or free to get in. I reckon you'd pack the place out, coronavirus aside.
Roosters, yeah. Glenelg, the way they're going at the moment, yep. In South Adelaide, you know, those teams that are up and about. Yeah, Nord, get on a Friday night, Nord versus the Bays at Nord Oval. how good it be to have 5,000 plus there.
Fantastic. Maybe we'll wait till next year when all this coronavirus rubbish is over, but hopefully we can see that one day next year. I'll be keen to see how it turns out.
I think we'll perhaps we'll have a chat to Zach Milbank in coming weeks because, you know, he's obviously involved close to the SANFL. I'd love to know, or SANFL, sorry. I'd love to know his thoughts on it.
Yeah, Murph.
Get someone from a real SANFL perspective.
All right, let's talk about the games from last weekend. We'll start with the North-South game at Prospect Oval. North too good, although South almost got them in the end, but North eventually winning.
That's right. In the end, it was a pretty low-scoring affair. It was the Roosters taking the chocolates there, 9-12, 66 to South Adelaide, 8-10, 58. The Roosters actually led by 3 goals going into the last term, and the Panthers got right back in at Murph. They were in within 7 points towards the end of that particular game, but the Roosters managed to steady to consolidate second spot on the ladder, I should say. Tommy Swartz is in great form at the moment. He backed up his 35 possessions last week with 23, 7 tackles and 7 clearances on Saturday. Crows listed player Harrison Wigg had 28 possessions and 8 marks. And another former power player, Andrew Moore, had 25 possessions. And Louis Hender, continuing his good season for the Roosters, kicked 3 goals for them. In terms of South Adelaide, young Canberra recruit Tom Highmore, he finished with 26 disposals and 7 marks, whilst former power veteran Matty Broadbent continued a really good season at his new club. He finished with 25 disposals and 4 clearances. Colotto, Overall and McCreary kicking 2 goals each there for South Adelaide. And Murph, it was the Bays bouncing back against Sturt.
Yeah, and a good crowd too on Sunday with the Bays bouncing back from their loss to the Eagles with an 18-point win against Sturt. 12 goals, 10-82 to 8 goals, 16-64. Started well, 3 goals, 3 to a point at quarter time. Sturt had a better second quarter though. They were down by 11 points at halftime. The Bays having a 7-point lead at three-quarter time, then kicked 5 goals, 3 to 3 goals, 4 in the last quarter to take home the win. Matty Snook continuing his great season for Glenelg, 29 disposals. And key defender Chris Curran took 9 marks to go with his 26 possessions. So he'll be happy with his day. For Sturt, Sam Colquhoun and James Battersby, 28 disposals each, so they had a couple of good days out there. And former Panther Abe Davis had 26 possessions. And Liam McBean, who I'm a big fan of, I have to say, love watching this guy in action, is now on the top spot of the Ken Farmer medal ladder, would you call it, I suppose, with another great day out with 5 goals. And Daniel Fay-Sparks and Zane Kirkwood, our guest last week, kicked 2 each for Sturt.
That's right. And it was the Eagles taking on Central's down at Mourntean Oval, formerly Woodville Oval, as people like to call it. The Eagles got off to an absolute flyer, Murph. 5 goals, 6 to 0.0 at quarter time, so it wasn't too good there for the Doggies. But to their credit, away from home, they had a better second quarter and went into the long break down by 14 points. But the Eagles were too strong in the end to win by an even 5 goals, 11-13-79 to the Doggies, 7-7-49. Jake Van Berto is having a really good couple of weeks. He backed up his 4 goals last week against the Bays to finish with 3 on Saturday for the Eagles. Jack Hayes and Tristan Carcuro with 2 goals each. Great game for Jack Hayes, actually. He had 28 possessions to go with his 2 goals. Another one who I reckon AFL scouts should have a look at, Murph, but that's just my opinion. And Joe Simon.
And we value your opinion, Bevo.
That's right. And some do. And Joe Sinor had 29 possessions for the Eagles. And we'll speak a little bit later on to Josh Ryan from West Adelaide. He talked up the Eagles' defence. They've certainly got some guns down there for sure. And Joe Sinor's one of those.
Not a great day, unfortunately, again, for West Adelaide, up against Norwood, who made it 3 in a row with a big win over them at Hisense Stadium at Richmond there. Norwood leading from, well, start to finish, 19-10, 124 winners in the end to just 8-9-57. Matt Panos, midfielder for Norwood, was the star of the day. 4 goals, 27 possessions, so he'd be happy with that. Louis Johnson did his McGarry Medal chances no harm with 16 marks and 34 disposals. And former Crow star Richie Douglas is doing all right this year, isn't he, for his new team of Norwood. Kicked 3 goals and had 35 disposals. Tommy Pinion also kicking 3 goals. So a few players there doing very well for the Redlegs. For the Bloods, though, Murray Waite and Sam May kicking 2 goals each. Kane Stevens led the disposals for Westies with 31 possessions, which in a losing team is a pretty handy day out. Jordan Boyle had 25 and Aaron Anderson had 24.
That's right, Murph. And I just want to give a shout-out as well to James Boyd, who racked up 31 for the Doggies on the weekend against the Eagles. He's now leading all disposal winners this year so far in the sample. And a bit of a McGarry smoky, I reckon. Obviously, Dogs have to win a game, but you know, I think we've seen it in the AFL before. players in losing sides still win Brownlows. So I wonder if it would be the same in the McGarry.
All right, we should also check the ladder. As we mentioned earlier, the Eagles and North Adelaide equal first on 5 wins. South in third on 4. Nord on 3. So to Glenelg in fifth position with the 3 wins. Sturt have 2 wins. West have, well, 1.5. And Central's, as we also have just mentioned, yet to get a win, although they have had a draw. Hopefully things can change for them over the next few weeks.
That's right, Murph. And Sample W, well, the finals are actually, it's come around very quickly. They've had the 10 games this year, and the Roosters, what a season for them. They're still yet to lose. We won't put the mockers on them, though, because we know what happens with that. But, that, of course, they take on South Adelaide. We'll mention that in a moment in terms of where that game will be on Sunday and the other game as well. But in terms of the results for round number 10 on the weekend, South Adelaide defeated Westies 4-5, 59 to 2-5, 17. North Adelaide 7-17, 59, a big win against the Doggies 1-0, 6. The Eagles, inaccurate, but they still managed to get the Chocolates 3-13, 31 to the Double Blues 2-4, 16. And Norwood, they defeated the Bays 9-9, 63 to the Bays 1-1, 7. And Murph, how did the ladder finish up after the minor round?
Well, North were there 10 from 10, obviously finished top. South in second position with 9 wins. Then I think it's interesting to note that it's a bit of a gap between second and third, with Norwood just 5 wins and so too West Adelaide. So you think that there's a bit of a dominance there, I suppose, of the top two teams, but I suppose the next few weeks we'll find out for sure. Being only a top four, that means Glenelg finishing fifth position miss out on the finals. So too Sturt, the Eagles and Central's finishing bottom, unfortunately. Let's talk about the two big games on Sunday, though. Bev, it's semi-final time.
Yeah, it's interesting. With the Sample men's, it's normally the other way around, but we've actually got the first game, which is North Adelaide versus South, which should be a belter. That's Sunday at 10:30 a.m. at Thebton Oval. And then the late game is Norwood versus the Bloods. That's obviously a elimination game. That's at 12:20 between those two. So should be two pretty good games, I reckon, Murph.
No sleeping in and breakfast in bed for you Sunday morning, Bevo, if you want to get to that game at 10:30.
That's right, exactly. So, yeah, it'll be very interesting to see how the girls go down there.
All for one and one for all, the way we play at Westies. We are the mighty fighting Bloods.
That's right. That's the song you hear from the Bloods, of course, and a man who is doing great things down there at West Adelaide, injured at the moment, but a young defender, Josh Ryan. Great to have you on the show, mate.
Thanks for having me on board, guys. It's good to be a part of the show.
Now, Josh, we weren't sure whether or not to play the West Adelaide club song or this. Yeah. There's a bit of a history with you and the Bee Gees, Josh. Is that correct?
Yes, a bit of history there, yeah. Obviously, when I was much younger, I was quite a hit back in the day, especially that song. And yeah, I guess I'd, when I was about 2, 3, maybe 4 years old, yeah, I'd stand in front of the TV and, watch the Bee Gees, especially during that song, and, yeah, try to pretend that I was them, yeah, which is a bit strange and always funny. Being told that and, yeah, always remembering about that. Which, yeah, but...
I reckon Josh might be a little bit embarrassed at this point, man. Yes. Could be wrong. I'm assuming your teammates are aware of this fascination with the Bee Gees, Josh, are they?
Yeah, some of the boys are aware of this. And, right. Usually get a bit of banter here and there about it. Especially if there's anything to do with the Bee Gees and a bit of news or anything like that.
Yeah, right.
But it's all fun and games there, and I've got a lot of dirt on some of the boys too. So
we'll get to that later, Josh. So get ready to unleash on them. That'll be good.
All right, mate. I've also got another little bit of dirt on yourself as well. Now, back in the day when you were learning to drive, I heard that a driving instructor had to hit the brakes very suddenly, otherwise you might have had a bit of a bingle. Tell us more about that one.
that one's a bit strange. Having my driving lesson, and I've gone to push the accelerator, and the instructor, you know how they have their brakes there on their side, he's just pushed that on, and he said, watch out, there was a car coming on the left-hand side, but it was a fair, way away, and I thought I could go, obviously not, and, shocked me quite a bit, really, and, got me out of the blue. I thought I was clear to go, but, instructor had other ideas, and, definitely put a halt to that.
Might be a future career there for you, Josh. Maybe a driving instructor. Just a
don't think so.
All right, let's talk about the season so far, which hasn't been ideal, only 1.5 wins. How does Gavin fire you and the boys up for games and getting you believing that you can actually win?
Look, Gav's been fantastic. I think during, even though look, our record's probably not where we want it to be at the moment, I think every game we've been in it, we've shown how good we can be when we're clicking in all our areas. And I think Gav, he really uses that encouragement side towards his pre-game messages and stuff. So he knows that we things to go right. We need to obviously put our values and stuff in place during the games to in order to have a good chance of winning. And he does a really good job at that pre-game and during the game as well. And I think that's his way of trying to fire us up. And then it comes back to us putting it into action. And yeah, so I think even though we haven't had the start that we would have liked, being in all the games and obviously getting that good win against Glenelg, it just it shows that we are there. We just have to. It's just our consistency through the whole game that's just a little bit off at the moment. And look, we've got a very we've got a young squad, and look, we're learning and getting better every week. And yeah, I think success is just around the corner. And yeah, even though the record hasn't, we haven't started the way as we would have hoped for. There's definitely some wins coming as the year unfolds.
And this year, this obviously shows how well respected you are down there at West Adelaide. You've been named as part of the leadership group. What does this mean for you, Josh?
Yeah, well, it's been amazing. I mean, being a part of the emerging leaders down there, and I think it just gives me a chance to. Use my experience a little bit more, show my leadership side, whether that's, during working out with the coaches and giving some feedback towards some of the other boys, obviously using obviously instructions on the voice in the ground and throughout the club as well. And it just gives a different dynamic to how I can be involved with West Adelaide. And I've really enjoyed it so far. And, yeah, definitely glad I saw definitely grateful that we've been given the opportunity to be a part of it. And yeah, definitely hope I can be a part of it again, for years to come.
Now, you'd assume having a twin brother that you would be very close, and in most cases that is the case, but in some cases brothers and sisters for that matter like to do their own thing as well. How much do you guys sort of critique each other and help each other out? Obviously he's a pretty handy player as well.
So we give each other a bit of feedback now and then. It is a little bit hard because we're really different players. I'm a bit more of a, I'm much taller than Locke, and I play a bit more key position role, whereas Locke's a little bit through the midfield or on the wing, half back, half forward kind of role. So we try and give each other feedback while we can. Then it comes a little bit of banter and stuff as well of, playing which position better, things like that. Locke thinks he can still play on the key backs because he did it one game.
I think that counts. He told me that he thinks he's the better-looking player as well, the two of you, Lockie. Is that right?
That's definitely not true.
Yeah, right. Don't believe a word he says, eh?
Just before we do our Dish in the Dirt segment, which we all love, you do some wonderful work outside of football as well, which we certainly need to speak about. Last year you organised the Socket to Sarcoma, and this year you're doing really good things with charities in terms of wearing different coloured shoelaces. Talk to us through this one, Joshy.
Yep. So last year I got the footy club to wear odd socks during a training session for a week just to raise a little bit of awareness about sarcoma, which is a rare type of bone and soft tissue cancers. And that was really good, really grateful for the boys to get on board of that initiative. And this year I decided to wear gold laces to raise awareness for Childhood Cancer Association, who I've been doing a little bit of charity work for. And look, they're obviously a great, tremendous charity of what they do for families going through cancer. And I thought wearing the gold laces during during the sample season is a terrific way to support the cause. And I was able to get a few other boys as well to wear them playing footy, which is good. And create a little bit of awareness, and that's the whole reason why it all began. And it's been awesome so far.
Fantastic, Josh. I love hearing people with a bit of a profile doing things like that. That's fantastic, mate. Well done. Good luck with it. All right. Well, we've been serious. It's time to change things totally and do a bit of dishing of the dirt. Josh, are you ready for five big questions here?
Yeah, let's get into it.
All right, mate. Question one, funniest teammate at the club and why?
Probably Isaac Johnson. He loves to... get us all up and about, really. He had a few jokes up his sleeve and that some of us really laughed at. So he's always good to for a laugh. And I'll throw in Dallas as well. I find him pretty cheeky and pretty funny. And, he's also got some good ones that come out. And a bit of banter between those two as well, which they love. They go at it, each other. It's pretty good to watch.
Fair enough. We love that.
Yeah.
Three words to describe your coach, Gavin Colville.
Ooh, that's a good question. Three words. Will I be kind here? I will go one, professional, two, very approachable, and three, can be a bit fiery.
We like it.
Yeah. I think everyone who knows Gabbo can knows that side of him. And we all love his passion that he brings to footy. And we know at times footy can get frustrated and things like that, but he's awesome, Gav.
I get the feeling that'd be a badge that he would wear with pride anyway, Josh, so I wouldn't worry about that too much, mate. Question three, bloke at the club that loves the mirror.
I'll go Squiz. We've got Lockie Squire, who's new to the club, and he's got a very good rig, so he loves to get in the weight room, and he does well for himself a lot.
Fair enough. And a teammate who loves reality TV, Josh, or we might see him on Bachelor in Paradise one day or one of those shows.
That's a good question too. I reckon I'd probably go Dallas as well. I reckon it'd be awesome to be on that. Really good to watch. And it'd be really good for the reality TV show there. He's got a bit of a good fan base as well, Dale, so he'll be pretty good on it.
And final question, the biggest nerd at the club?
Biggest nerd. I'll have to say, I reckon, Josh Schiller's got a good brain on him. He's a bit of engineering kind of thing. And Tommy Rundle as well, who's coming up new. So, they're not nerds, they're very smart boys.
Nerd in a complimentary kind of way, maybe. Let's put
that's right.
Just quickly before you go, mate, want to get your thoughts on the games this weekend, if we can.
Yes, Josh, starting with the Bays making the big trip out to the Ponderosa at Elizabeth to take on the Dogs at X-Convenience Oval on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a good game. I think Glenelg, coming off a pretty good win. You'd have to think that Glenelg are probably favourites over there. With Central, so I think, unfortunately, haven't won a game just yet. But I think Central's been pretty competitive as well, so I reckon that I'm still back Glenelg to get the win there.
North had a good win over the Panthers last weekend. They take on Sturt at Prospect Oval on Saturday.
I reckon that's another good contest, isn't it? So I reckon North will probably win that one as well. I reckon that'll be a really good game, though. Sturt have been in pretty much every game, and they're always pretty strong. Yeah, that'd be a really good game to watch, but I'll go with North.
And this Saturday, of course, are your Bloods take on the ladder leading Eagles, who are flying at the moment. Josh, how can you beat the Eagles?
Yeah, they've been playing really well. I think what's been really good about them is their defence. I think they're first in boards against, so their defence has really been really, really solid this year. So it's going to be, we're going to have to work away around that, and obviously pick the Eagles' back line down a bit, and obviously try and score some goals. And if we can tidy up our defence in the way we go about a bit more in the midfield this week, get back on top there, which we have been all year, it should be a really good contest. And hopefully we can get up.
I know Gavin Colwell has been there for a few years now, coaching the reserves and also, of course, now you guys, but I still can't imagine him in nothing but blue and gold. Does he fire up, especially this week, playing his old team? Or not playing, but he's, you know, he'll be coaching against his old team.
Yep, definitely always mentioned something about
Does
Woodville.
He? Right, yeah.
when we versus, he definitely did last year and no doubt he will again this week, which is good. And, you know, wouldn't it be good if we had a win and, you know, Gav would be very happy about that, and so would some of the boys. That we know it's going to be a tough, tight contest, and we're up for it. And I think the boys will go out and give it all they got and do a really good job. Yeah, I can't wait. Yeah, can't wait to watch the boys start it.
And finally, on Sunday, third take on fourth, Nord at home to South Adelaide.
Ooh, Nord looked really good last week against West Seas, and South have been really good too. I reckon I'm going to go a bit of an upset and go Norwood in that one. So I think they've won three in a row. So yeah, I'll back them in to win four in a row.
Well, Joshy, thanks so much for your time today, mate, and that insight into the local footy. We're all loving it here in South Australia, of course. We all love our Sandful. It's a shame that there's no Port in the Crows, but it's still a great competition. And keep up the great work yourself. Obviously, you've got the injury at the moment, so hopefully you're back again soon, you know, showing your great leadership.
No worries, Liz. Yeah, such a pleasure having being able to be on the show. And yeah, thanks for having me.